Well, I appreciate your faithfulness tonight on a holiday weekend, and we probably have around twice as many on a Sunday night, Brother Horton, and God's been blessing our services. And of course, I understand Easter Sunday and family makes plans, and sometimes folks have other things going out of town and whatnot, but God has blessed us today. We've had a great day, and amen. Good to see all of you back tonight. And now, Brother Horton is no stranger to our church. He's been here on numerous occasions through the years, and he was actually very instrumental in me coming back here.
I'm glad you're here.
And we're going to go fishing this summer.
That's right. And bring Tony. I'll see that he behaves. Okay? Hey, I appreciate being here. I really do. Appreciate you, Brother Steve. Appreciate the ministry here, Brother Janky. And this has been a great church. And it is a great church. And I'm glad to see this crowd here today, this good crowd, on Easter Sunday night. And praise the Lord for that. I made one of my biggest blunders here. Brother, one Sunday, I can't remember your name. And I'm, huh? No, behind, in front of Brother Miller. Henry. Yeah, I couldn't remember your name, Henry. Of course, you get to be my age. I was in a whole... I'm helping a church, we planted a church in Long Island, and I was there this morning, and we're meeting in a hotel, and we had 90-something people this morning, but we're meeting in a hotel, and I'm sitting there having a cup of coffee, and this young man comes by, a young man, he's probably in his late 50s, and he said, "Hi, what are you doing here?" And I said, "We have a church here," and he was one of our missionaries, and I couldn't remember his name until he told me, so, but anyway, I was here, and Brother Henry's wife was back there, and she was holding somebody's baby, and I walked up and I said, "Oh, your grandbaby." And they teased her about that. But that's not all. A week later, I was up in Middleburg, New York. That's Danielle's church up in Middleburg. And I did the same stupid thing again with somebody. Only it was a worse situation. This one was kind of funny. But the other one, it wasn't this one. And I talked my way out of it, you know. I tried to talk my way out. I don't know if I did or not. Alzheimer's, yeah, Alzheimer's. You mean not remembering things, you know, a senior moment. Where did Brother Macri go? I was going to tell a story on him. Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to tell you the story anyway. Gary Coleman is in Texas. You know Gary Coleman is in Texas. And he got called to his first church, and he was out visiting with one of the deacons. And so he was concerned why they called him to be the pastor. He said, "You had a lot of men with a lot more experience. How come you called me to be the pastor of your church instead of some of these men with more experience?" And the deacon said, "Well, Brother Coleman, it's this way. We needed a piano player, and your wife played the piano. And I had I was at a service down in Browns Mills. We're helping a lot of churches, but a church in Browns Mills just called the pastor, and we had an installation service two Sundays ago, and the pastor that came, his wife played the piano, so I had to tell that story there, too. But anyway, hey, I appreciate being back here. I appreciated the ministry we've had when we were between pastors here, and I'm glad Brother Janky is the pastor, the man that God called, the man that was needed to be here. And the Lord has blessed the ministry, and he'll spend the rest of his life here. You know, that just spend the rest of your life here serving the Lord. And it's a great church, and it's had a great heritage. By the way, one other thing before I start to preach. I talked to Brother Vickery this week. His wife hurt her leg, and said he's had some problems. So pray for Mrs. Vickery and Brother Vickery. They operated on one of his eyes, and he's doing a little better. So pray for Dr. Vickery. I got to tell you one other story. You don't mind telling me another story? I'm going to tell you, when I first came to New Jersey in 1978, and I came to New Jersey, and Brother Vickery was still at, remember that church that he took it when it was in serious trouble? And our church had sold that church three buses. I don't know why they got out of the minute, but they sold the church three buses. Well, the church never paid for the buses. By the way, you owe us. But anyway, no, it has nothing to do with it. But the church, and I called Brother Vickery, and I said, "Well, Brother Vickery, if you can't pay us, would you?" Because I had just gotten to the church, and I wanted to get into a bus ministry, but didn't have any money for buses. And I said, we'll just take the bus a bit back. Boy, he hit the roof. Boy, I was about the fourth person to call him about something that morning. And I said, well, I guess we'll never be friends, but we became the greatest friends. Used to meet, and the last of January, between January the 25th, and his birthday was around Groundhog's Day. I don't know, it wasn't Groundhog Day, but I was just telling him it was. Second's Groundhog Day, but his isn't Groundhog Day. That's the first, but I always kid him about that. We always used to get together for our birthdays. Mine's January the 25th, and his is a couple of days. We always used to get together and have lunch. And we had lunch three or four times a year. And I'm glad to be here. Well, enough storytelling, right? Let's go to the Bible. Amen? Turn, if you would, in your Bible to the book of Titus, book of 2 Timothy, rather, the second chapter. 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verses 14 through 18. 2 Timothy, the second chapter, starting with verse 14. Of these things put in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearer. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their words will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past, and overthrow the faith of some. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We ask you to use the Word of God today to be a blessing, to encourage us and to strengthen us. And may we see something in the Word that will help us to leave here on this Easter Sunday saying it has been good to be in the house of the Lord and to go on and serve you in a greater way. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just let me read the 19th verse. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, as we look to the Word of God here tonight, we see some things. In verse 15, we're to study, or we're to be eager, or we're to be alert, or we're to be alert to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. We are to be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe with all of my heart and all of my soul, every born-again, Bible-believing Christian that knows him as Savior should be doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Different ones have different abilities. Different people have different things they can do. And some are blessed in one realm, and some are blessed in another realm. You know, in our church, we had a group of ladies used to go visiting. They'd visit the shut-ins. And you know, that was a real blessing. They went in, they'd read some Bible, have some prayer, but sit around in fellowship with shut-ins. And what a blessing it was to the shut-ins. But it wasn't only a blessing to the shut-ins, it was a blessing to the ladies that did the visiting. They were a blessing one to another. And you know, I liked it. Because, you know, I can sit around and talk to Tony about fishing forever. But sitting around talking about quilting or knitting or some of that is not my thing. And these ladies did something. I always visited the shut-ins, and I'd go visit them. I'd have prayer with them. I'd read scripture to them. I'd try to be an encouragement to them. I'd help them, whatever I could do. But the thing is, they had a ministry that I didn't have. Everybody has a ministry of some kind in the church. I think one of the greatest services of the Lord Jesus Christ are the nursery workers. What a joy to be a nursery worker. Thank God I don't have to be a nursery worker. I was in one church, and they had the men, when the wife had the nursery, the husbands helped them. We never established that because I figured that my turn might come up sometime. But seriously, it's a great ministry. But everybody does not like every ministry. You know that? There's something that one person loves to do and somebody else would rather not. And I believe that's the way God meant it. And so we ought to be workmen. We are to be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be servants not having the approval of men. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Not approved unto man, but approved unto God. Galatians, the first chapter, tells us something along this line. In Galatians, the first chapter and the 10th verse. Galatians 1:10. I'll get there in a minute. Here we are. The first chapter, it says, For do I now persuade men, O God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of God, of Christ. We need to be servants of God. I enjoyed the testimony Danielle said about her sister. You know, I meant this. I should have said this when she was here, but you know something? You heard the story I told about the piano player? Well, they'll have to tell you that one. About the guy who was called to the church, and they really wanted the piano player. They called him because his wife played the piano. And I was teasing you a little bit. But you weren't here to hear it. But she told the story about her sister working at a job. Now, she said she could have had there was a Christian school, but it was only a part-time situation. Do you ever think sometimes in the tougher places is because that's where God needs you? You think about it. Janky, you were in the service. I got saved in the Navy. And, you know, I went back aboard ship in the Navy. And, you know, aboard ship, I didn't think at the time it was an easy place to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But, you know, it was one of the best times. Saw people saved. Learned how to be a soul winner. Preached my first sermon. It was a tough situation, but God had put me there to train me. And I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. I wouldn't trade that time for anything in the world. Sometimes I wish I never got out. But seriously, God wants us to be servants, not approved of man, but approved of God to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the salvation message which we preach is approved of God. It's approved of God. And it's the message that we have to tell people about Jesus Christ and to let them know who he is and why we serve him. I started with the 14th verse of this verse of Scripture. And we see these things, we're to bring them into remembrance and keep them in mind. But in Titus, the first, second chapter, the 11th verse, the Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us, denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." In verse 13, "looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Today is the day we remember the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ when he rose from the dead. But you know, we need to look for another resurrection when he comes again. First, at the rapture of the church, when the dead in Christ rise first, and we which are alive shall be caught up together to be with him in the clouds. We see that in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. And we'll be with him for eternity. Eternity with Jesus Christ. But you know, there's one thing, we won't have the privilege to serve there. I mean, he's going to do all the serving. We're just going to be around long for the blessings. Here we have the privilege to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and to let people know about Jesus. Next to getting saved yourself, is winning someone else to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We have this message of salvation, approved of God, and we are witnesses of him. And we have the privilege to tell people about the lovely Savior who we serve and what he can do for them. And we look forward to his soon coming, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the devil wants Christians to major on minor things and keep away from the Great Commission. The Great Commission is to win people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're to be witnesses. You know, the Great Commission is three-pronged. I preached on Matthew, the 28th chapter, but I didn't use the last couple of verses. If you go to Matthew 28, there's a couple of things I want to show you here, just a couple of things, starting with verse 16. "And the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, unto the mountain where they had Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but they doubted." They even doubted the resurrection. "And Jesus came unto them, saying, All power is given unto me unto heaven and earth." We have all power. He gave all power. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." We're to reach all nations with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to baptize those that get saved. We're to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then we're to teach them all things. We're to teach all things. "Whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always." He's with us all the time, every place, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And we have the responsibility to carry out his great commission. Win people, see that they get baptized, teach them the word of God, that they'll, and train them to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're to win them, we're to wet them, we're to word them, and we're to work them. Amen? Win them, wet them, word them, and work them. All we're to bring salvation. We're to bring submersion, that's baptizing them. We're to bring them the scriptures and teach them and to study the Word of God. And then the last thing, we're to teach them to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Great Commission. When you win someone to Christ, now I realize we win people we never see again. But when you win someone and you can get them out, you've got to bring them to church. You've got to work with them. You've got to encourage them in the things of the Lord. Think who encouraged you when you first got saved. We are workmen. We are to set ourselves approved unto God. And to be approved unto God, here's what we have to do. Back to 2 Timothy again. 2 Timothy, we look at 2 Timothy, that second chapter, and we go to that 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, the second chapter, and the 15th verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Would you work at it? Would it be diligent to be approved of God, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, to love the Lord Jesus Christ? And we have to work at it every day. Now, how are you approved of the Lord? Get up every day and read your Bible. Pray. Have a time of prayer. Even if it's only 10 or 15 minutes, get up a little early. Have a word of prayer. Read some scripture in your Bible reading. Read some scripture and read it devotionally, asking God to speak to your heart. Then ask Him to bless the day, to give you opportunities to serve as you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and then go out and do it. Get it done. Serve the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, the 13th verse. The Bible tells us in this 13th, the second chapter and the 13th verse, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. You know, one of the problems we have in dealing and serving the Lord Jesus Christ, a lot of times we try to do it in the flesh. How many of you have ever tried to witness in the flesh besides me? Besides me. I do it. You know, you just feel you got to do it. Never go to a man about God until you've been to God about that man. You follow what I'm saying? Let's say you got a relative and you're really concerned about their salvation. Pray for them. Pray for them. Get down on your knees and pray. Lord, help me. Help me to be able to be a blessing to Brother Derek. He needs to get saved. Help me to lead him to the Lord. Help me to give me the opportunity to talk. And then when I'm talking with him, ask God for the privilege and the opportunity to show him the Word of God. But pray for him. Pray for people by name and know and love them and do it. Earnestly study the Word of God. Don't drift away, but stay close to the Lord Jesus Christ, because God needs workmen to serve him. Our workmen, there's some must in being a workman. First of all, we've got to take the Word of God. We've got to get right and stay right. No leader or teacher should be a shirker. I was in Tennessee a couple of weeks ago, and Dr. Sexton and I were talking about the Lord's work and the ministry. And right now I'm teaching at a college in Connecticut, and we're talking about students and things like that. And he said one thing young preachers need to know, that the ministry is work, 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 and work. It's work. Work. It's seeing people. It's talking to people. It's loving people. My preacher told my best friend, he said, my best friend, he's down in Georgia now, but he my best friend, we went to the same church, and he and I were buddies. I guess we're buddies because I'm kind of outgoing and outspoken and mouth running most of the time. And Jim is quiet and laid back. And my preacher said to him, Jim, love your people and make up for your sorry preaching. Well, he's a better preacher than most of us. But love your people. And he told me that, and I've taken that. Love people. If you love people, you can put up with a lot. It's like bringing up a child. You children know you love them. You can discipline them if they know you love them and care. We should be workers for the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay at it. See that the work is done. See that it's done right. Do the best that you can and do the job the best you can do it. And serve the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a Sunday school teacher, do the best in your class. Work at it. Work at Sunday school. Do things in your room. Put things, you know, you walk through a Sunday school. I'm in a lot of different churches. But you walk through a Sunday school, and you see one class. So we have a teacher in the church I'm looking for a pastor for in Long Island. And we got one teacher. She's got more things and things go running around and flyers. She even has a Sunday school bulletin for a Sunday school class. Can you imagine that? A bulletin. Every week she has a bulletin. And you can do some of those things today with copy machines and everything. It's something for the kids. And just stay at it. Think up ideas. Go to Sunday school conferences. Learn all you can. You go to a conference, you say, well, I know how to teach. I've been doing it for 104 years. Well, you know, you can always learn. I've been pastoring for over 50 years, and I go to conferences and I see things. How come I never saw that before? How come I didn't see that? Boy, that's a good idea. We could always learn. And we need to be the workmen that God would have us to be. And we need to just stay at it and be workers for the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verses 1 and 2. And the Bible says in this 4th chapter, verses 1 and 2, it says, here we go. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, because we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We need to serve the Lord, love the Lord, because we have this opportunity. It's not enough to be a workman. We don't need to be ashamed of our work, but do it well. Now, we need to rightly divide the word of truth. It has to be rightly divided. You know, you want to understand the Bible, always take it in context. Always take it, who it was written to, why it was written, how it was written, and keep it in its context. Rightly dividing the word of truth. This word, rightly dividing, means to cut a straight path, to sow, and sowing, a farmer sowing. He sows a straight furrow as he serves and as he moves ahead. And it's required that we do it properly and that we do it right in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And not doing it sloppily or wrongly, but doing it the right way, serving the Lord and doing it the way God would have it to be done. Now, what are the requirements of a good servant? What is the requirement of a workman, a workman for the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the requirement, first of all, is you have a personal experience with a knowledge of Jesus Christ as your Savior. Know that you're saved. And know from the Word of God and be able to prove from the Word of God your salvation. I had a preacher come to me, and he said to me, you know, I'm doubting my salvation. I'm doubting my salvation. And I said, that's not good. I said, are you studying the Bible for yourself? Now, you Sunday school teachers, and you some people that have to share the Word of God, sometimes we can study the word of God so we can teach a lesson, but we have to study the word of God to speak to our own hearts. Amen. And we need to do that and keep it in mind. Having a personal experience, knowing you're saved, knowing your sins are forgiven, have a knowledge that Christ has delivered and delivered you from sin, and he delivers us daily from the power of sin. You look around America and you see people that are falling, people who are saved, people who are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden you hear about them, they've left what they were doing. They've fallen into sin. Sin has come into their life, and they've forsaken the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's hurt them. They have to make it right. Stay true. Don't put yourself in compromising situations. By the way, one of the problems we have today is the Internet. The Internet's a big problem, and a lot of ministries are being ruined because of the Internet. I think there's a lot of good things in the Internet. And we have our broadcasts and preaching and all kinds of things in the Internet, but there's also a lot of sin in the Internet. So you watch it and stay away from it. Do what's right. Do what's right. And have absolutely surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to serve Him, have complete surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in serving the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, right? I talked about that earlier. Now, how do you know if you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God? How can you know you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God? You got a job to do. God saves people because He uses the man of God who is indwelt and filled with the Spirit of God, who's taking the Word of God to a lost sinner, right? You got it? Follow? You have to have the Holy Spirit of God. Well, it's very simple. Number one, confess any known sin in your life. Go to God and ask Him to forgive you. Any known sin, confess it. Obey any known scripture. If there's a scripture, you obey it. If you haven't been baptized, get baptized. Every known scripture. If you had a fallen out with someone, make it right. Obey every known scripture. Then ask the Holy Spirit of God to fill you. Ask God to fill you. Submit yourself to Him and ask Him to fill you. In Luke, the 11th chapter, let's turn to Luke 11. Let's just go over there for a minute. Luke, the 11th chapter. I want to back it up with scripture so you know I'm not talking out of school here. Luke, the 11th chapter and the 11th verse. Luke 11, 11. If a son shall ask a bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Ask Him to fill you. Just say, Lord, fill me with Thy Holy Spirit. The next thing, believe He did it. And deal with the person from the Word of God, believing you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And just go on and do it. Now, you need a clean life. You've got to have a clean life when you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't do it in the flesh. In 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, the 21st verse, if a man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. We cleanse ourselves, we give ourselves to God, let Him have His will and way, and go on and serve the Lord Jesus Christ, realizing He's the one that's going to get the job done, and just believe that He's going to do it. And it's a personal work, it's a surrendered life, wholly given to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Philippians 1:21, the Bible says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And that's what it is. Know that men are lost. Know that men, that Christ can do something about it. And as you study and you are believing and you let the Holy Spirit of God fill you and you share the gospel with people that you're dealing with and you go out and you live for God and serve God and let Him have His will and way in your life, He can use you in winning people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you need to have a love for people. You have to have a love for people. And love is needed to be a soul winner. People know if you care or not. It's been said, how's it been said? Nobody cares. Nobody cares. How does that go? Nobody cares. You need to. Oh, never mind. I can't say it. Something about caring. Nobody cares what you know. They know. They want to know you care. That's what it is. No one cares what you know. They want to know that you care. That is it. Amen. And we need to keep that in mind. Know that people, you love people. Have a love. There's a lot of verses on love and loving one another. One of the marks of a church of Christians is they'll have love one for another. Boy, I've been in some churches where that hasn't been as like it should have been. Thank God it's here, isn't it? Amen? Isn't your sweet spirit here? You know, you go to a church, you go to a lot of churches, and brother, you go to a lot of churches, and you can feel a sweet spirit among the people. You know that? A sweet spirit. I mean, I get into some situations, brother. I don't know if I should wear body armor or not, you know. But you know, you get into a church and you tell that. You don't have to be a mental, spiritual giant to figure out when you go into a church and there's a love one for another and a care one for another. So you need to have that. Now, we have to love and have a care for people. Then, of course, you have to just stay at it. Stay at it. Stay at it. Then have a practical knowledge of the Bible. You don't need to know all there is to know about the Bible to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ and to be a soul winner. You only have to know what the Bible says about salvation. Now, I believe you should learn more as you go along. You know, when I first got saved and I started dealing with people about the Lord, they'd ask me some questions. I used to play dumb. And I said, well, you know, I really don't know much about that. I just know what the Bible says about salvation. I had a plan down. It's not the one I use today. But I know how to show them they were sinners, show them they needed a Savior, show them that Jesus was a Savior, and show them how they needed to trust Him as their own personal Savior. And then I'd pray with them. And I'd trust the Lord Jesus Christ to just work in their lives. And then ask a question, and I'd say, Well, you know, I don't know that answer than what my preacher does. Why don't you come to church with me on Sunday, and I'm sure my preacher can answer it. And I know your preacher knows all the answers, so you got nothing to worry about. He knows them all. And let the Lord Jesus Christ pass the buck along. And know what you know, and don't ever try to buffalo people. If you don't know the answer, tell them, well, you know, I'm new at this, or I'm studying on it, no one knows all about it, but I know my preacher knows more than I do, and he can be a blessing. Have a practical knowledge of how to deal with people about the Lord. And then the next thing you need to do, you need to pray. Bring a person before God. I talked about it earlier. Let them know you care. Let them know that Jesus is able to help them with every problem they have, and just go on and do that. And then, of course, people have to make a choice whether to accept Jesus Christ or not. And don't just bug them and twist their arm and give them the plan of salvation. Give them the Word of God. Give them an opportunity to pray. Then make sure they understand what you said. And if they pray with you, fine. If they don't, leave an open door so you can go back. How many of us have closed doors? My early days, was one of three things happened. One, they got saved. Number two, they threw me out. Number three, they made a false profession to get rid of me. And the best thing, that's the worst thing you can do is a false profession. Better to get thrown out, know they're going to hell, than make a false profession and think they're going to heaven. Amen? Love the Lord. Serve the Lord. Be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, back to our text in 2 Timothy, and the second chapter, and verse, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You're a workman. You're a servant. God's work is a job for servants, not celebrities. I will take any day of the week, and I'm looking for preachers all the time, and I would rather have a dedicated spiritual man of average intelligence serving the Lord Jesus Christ than some of these glory boys that are geniuses and they have talent and they have brains, but they don't have dedication. Dedication will pay off all the time. Dedication and spirituality will pay off all the time. Love the Lord. Serve the Lord. Let him have your life. Let him use your life. And ask him to use you in his service and give a lifetime of service for the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest work in the world. Love him. Serve him, and be a blessing. Now, God wants you to work through a local church. You have a godly pastor. You have godly people here. And that we work together to build this ministry, to reach people, and to teach people. Carrying out the three prongs of the Great Commission. Winning them, baptizing them, teaching them, and showing them how to serve the Lord. And God wants to use you. Back, I think it was during World War I. It may have been the Spanish-American War. I always thought it was World War I, but the other day I saw something about the Spanish-American War, and they had a man with a big top hat, red, white, and blue, in a red, white, and blue suit, had a little white beard, and he was pointing out, and he said, Uncle Sam wants you. Well, I'm not trying to enlist anyone in the Navy, but I tell you right now, Jesus Christ wants you to serve him. Amen. He wants you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And Lord, as we have been here tonight, and Father, we've had the privilege to preach the Word of God to this wonderful congregation. We ask you, our Heavenly Father, that you will bless and guide. There may be some that want to come to the altar to rededicate their lives. Father, just use this service for your glory. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for what will be accomplished. And we'll ask the pastor to come and close the service the way he would like to serve us tonight. This was basically a message to Christians, but if you're not saved, you're not sure about your salvation, the preacher will talk to you about it.